We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses, people that were once in your shoes. Our TSBC alumni, speakers, and friends will shed light on growth strategies, resources, and inspiration to help you scale your creative business. Hey guys, I'm Katie Hunt, the founder of Trade Show Bootcamp, and welcome to another episode of Proof to Product. Today, I sat down with Elle Druin. She runs three businesses concurrently. One is Wonderful Media, Styled Socks Society, and she's the human behind the Instagram handle Mochi and the City. After several years working as the director of marketing and digital strategy for e-commerce businesses, Elle launched her own business to focus on helping other women build brands that are as profitable as they are pretty. Elle currently runs the Styled Stock Society, which is a stylish stock photography membership specifically built for women entrepreneurs. She also does commercial photography work for beauty and lifestyle brands. Elle's dog, Mochi, is a four-year-old Maltipoo model and influencer with over 100,000 Instagram followers. Elle and Mochi have been featured on Entrepreneur, CNBC, The Today Show, and a number of other media outlets. And they've collaborated with some pretty big brands like American Express, Disney, Google, and even the Ritz-Carlton. They use their platform to raise awareness for organizations like the Humane Society and local shelters. On today's episode, we're talking about the benefits of using stock photography. We're also talking about strategies, processes, and tools for streamlining your social media outreach, and why we need to be focusing on solving a problem as we build our products and our services. Hey, Elle, thanks so much for joining me today. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
So you currently own and operate three businesses?
Three businesses.
Yep. Girl, I'm tired hearing that. Can you briefly describe to us what those three are and what you do?
Sure. So I am the founder of Wonderful Media, which is a content marketing agency. We primarily work with beauty and lifestyle brands to create content for their social media, website, blog, for the most part, visual content. But I do outsource some other content creation for clients who have more needs
like copy beyond or just something the visuals. Like that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. I also run Styled Stock Society, which is a styled stock photography membership for women entrepreneurs who are typically 0 to 3 years into business.
Okay.
And are not outsourcing all of their photography to either a full-time photographer or someone who helps them with custom photography on a regular basis. Uh-huh. And then I also created a brand based around my dog, Mochi. She is a four-year-old Maltipoo. She's Mochi and the City on Instagram. And she currently has over 100,000 followers. She's actually been featured on Entrepreneur as one of the most entrepreneurial dogs in America.
Oh my gosh.
And she's partnered with brands like American Express, Disney, Google, the Ritz-Carlton, and is kind of way more famous than I am on the internet. but it's just a fun other business that I'm involved in as well.
Wow. Okay. I have so many questions about all of those things. But what were you doing before you were an entrepreneur? What led you to this?
So I studied business in college. I was actually a finance and international business major. My first job out of college was totally unrelated. I worked in finance. I was a financial advisor for high net worth individuals and mm-hmm. organizations, and honestly didn't find finance to be fun. Mm-hmm. And I started a blog as a creative outlet, which kind of grew. And long story short, one of the brands that I worked with when I had this blog offered me the opportunity to move to New York to work for them in a marketing capacity to help with their blog and influencer outreach. And I took that opportunity because I was kind of ready to pivot what I was doing with my life. Mm-hmm. So I actually worked for this e-commerce business for a few years. I started freelancing with other startups in New York, helping them with their digital marketing. And in 2016, I guess it was 16. It's crazy, but now it's 2018. Yeah, so I guess 2 years ago, yeah. I originally started my business thinking that I would do marketing consulting full time.
Okay.
Quickly realized that I hated consulting. And
tell me, why.
Like super introverted, and I felt like I was talking to people all day long, and then I would just be exhausted at the end of the day. So I wanted to figure out another way that I could help people with their marketing that didn't involve me talking all day long. And I really miss the content creation side of when I had worked in marketing, because I worked with startups. You know, we didn't have like huge teams of people doing all the things. So I was involved in social media and influencer outreach, in our blogs and in our email marketing. And the thing that I really realized that I love the most about all that is the content creation, and content specifically as a way to connect with our target audiences. So I launched a couple online courses thinking like maybe I just need to create educational content, and that would be something I'd be interested in. And I realized that wasn't really for me. And summer of 2016, I actually created the Styled Stock Society. At the time, I wasn't a photographer. I just thought that I knew that people in my audience were kind of similar to me. They were female business owners who needed content for their social media, for their blogs, for their websites. And a lot of them couldn't afford to hire a full-time photographer or even a brand photographer on a semi-regular basis, but wanted access to high-quality visuals that they could share on social media. So I started the Styled Stock Society and ended up with about 150 members during my launch period, and realized that this is something that I really enjoyed doing. And that sort of took off from there. I started focusing more on styling and photography and visual content specifically. And that's pretty much what I've been doing since then.
Wow. Okay. So what you talked about, the need you saw amongst entrepreneurs that don't have the budget to hire a photographer, or they don't know how to take photos themselves, that's a big worry or concern that my audience has as well. And so it's been really interesting to see these stock photography sites coming up, because there's a need there, there's a want there, and you're solving a problem for these business owners that are wearing so many hats, and they just can't do all of these things themselves. They either don't know how or don't have the budget to hire somebody. So I think it's great that you did this. Tell us a little bit more about the types of customers that Styled Stock Society caters to.
So I actually have a pretty wide variety of different types of business owners. Almost all, I think at this point, women-owned businesses, but anyone from graphic designers and developers, coaches, consultants, like calligraphers, health coaches, life coaches, any kind of coaches, to be completely honest. and then I do have some product-based businesses as well. But for the most part, my one-on-one clients through my styling, photography, content creation, all of those clients are product-based businesses. And I find that the service-based businesses or even digital products-based businesses are more of the target for the Styled Stock Society, because they're the people who can immediately see like how I can use stock photo for my business. Whereas I think a lot of product-based businesses maybe don't understand how they could be using stock for their businesses. And they think, you know, I need to be taking photos of my actual products. And I mean, that totally makes sense.
Right. But I will say, and I want to ask your opinion on this, but I have seen some people do some really creative things where it allows product-based business owners to drop their products into the image so that it can be used. So speaking specifically to the people you're working with on the product side, physical product side, how are those customers using your images, or how are you customizing things for their brands and their needs?
Yeah. What's interesting is actually a good number of my custom clients started out as Styled Stock Society members. So they had product-based businesses, were looking for help with photography, weren't ready to hire a photographer at the time. And so they started with stock photos, and then eventually got to the point where they could hire me, you know, to actually take pictures of their products on a regular basis. But in terms of the stock photos that I have in my library, and that I know a lot of other photographers probably will keep this in mind also, is that there are a lot of different ways you can customize the photos to be more specific to your brand. So whether you're adding overlays or text, things like that. But for physical products, one of the things that we try to do is have a lot of negative space in certain photos in our collections, so that there is room if you have, you know, maybe a desktop that has a few different items on it, you could actually drop a product image in it, so it would look like it's sitting on the desktop with the rest of the other things. And it just sort of seamlessly fits in, because we have that negative white space built into the composition.
Right. So you mentioned that this is for women and you work with all types of entrepreneurs. It seems like you had a very clear aesthetic in mind, though, when you're starting to create your images for the membership specifically, not your custom clients. Do you do collections? Do you have a very specific aesthetic that you're working towards when you're taking these photos?
I do. And I would actually say that it started with like my personal aesthetic and the things that I was drawn to. I started taking photos, for my own social media and for my own blog. And when I realized that I couldn't find the photos, the stock photos that I wanted to use for my own brand. That's when I like really kind of got more into photography to figure out like, okay, how do I figure out how to take them for myself? And right. It's funny, the first collection I ever created for the Styled Stock Society, I had no idea if anyone was going to buy the photos or like sign up. And so instead of kind of planning out like what I was going to do, I literally said like, okay, I'm going to take photos of things that I have in my office. I spent $16 on a small bouquet of peonies at my local deli and yep. just took photos that I would take like for my own Instagram, for my own brand. And people bought them. So it kind of just started with the things that I like. And now that I have grown the membership, I just regularly survey my audience to figure out what they want specifically. So like in my most recent survey, I was surprised to see how many people in the wedding industry were members or potential members who are looking for stock photos for their industry. And for me, I always thought that people in the wedding industry had photos from the weddings that they like participated in some way, whether they're planning or right. creating stationery or, you know, makeup artists, right. things like that. I'm like, well, don't you have like, there's a photographer for weddings. So, but it didn't occur to me right. that, you know, just because someone else is photographing, that doesn't mean one, you get the rights to share those photos. You may get one or two photos, but that's not really enough content to kind of sustain a marketing presence if you are trying to post like on right. Instagram every day. And there's just a lot of things that maybe you don't need a photo from a specific wedding, but just something that will indicate kind of what you're talking about. So maybe it's just the shot of a ring and it, you know, it doesn't matter whose ring it is, or like an example of a bouquet, not necessarily from a specific wedding, but that will let people know what it is you do and what you're sharing about.
Totally. When I was coming up in the stationery world and I did a lot of custom invitations, wedding invitations, baby, and that stuff, there was a big push. And I don't know if this is still a thing, but there was a big push for people doing styled shots that were, you know, just basically fake weddings. And they would get people from all different areas, you know, somebody do the paper, some do the floral backdrops, all these things. And a photographer would come in and I believe everyone would use those photos in their own way for their own marketing and things. And that was part of the process. But those would also get pitched to publications to show people, you know, like to showcase work, right? But they were fake and they were like done just for the marketing side of things, which is now, I like that you're one, that was kind of, it sounds like a light bulb moment for you of like, oh, this is another market I could serve. This is another type of photo that I could include. Let me back up a little bit. You said you had 150 people in your initial launch of this membership. Was there a light bulb moment in there or an aha moment where you were just like, okay, I'm onto something here. This is going to work. This is something people need and I'm helping entrepreneurs.
It was a little bit gradual, but I would say towards the end of 2016, I was kind of burnt out. So I had the Styled Stock Society, but I also had consulting clients. I had online courses. I was doing one-on-one custom photography. I was doing a lot of different things. And not that I'm not doing a lot of different things now, but I think now everything sort of revolves around like styling, photography, content creation, and very defined ways that I run my business. But at the time, I was just doing too many things. And I realized that even though the Styled Stock Society had only existed for a few months, my recurring revenue from that was surpassing my revenue from other income streams that I was spending more time on, because they were either one-to-one services or things like even my online courses. I spent a lot of time creating, updating, and marketing. Whereas something like the Styled Stock Society, it's very regimented for me, and that I know every month I'm releasing a certain number of collections and I know how long it's going to take. And the level of effort that I put into the business just makes so much more sense to me than all the time I was spending doing things that were more like one-on-one versus one-to-many.
Right. Like you still get to be creative with your photos that you're doing and the sessions that you're setting up. But at the same time, it sounds like you could really systematize your process throughout the month of like, you know, when you're releasing things, you know, when you're shooting, when you're editing. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it does seem like it could be a very more streamlined process than doing the one-on-one coaching or the coursework or anything like that.
Exactly. Yeah. I am extremely regimented in my business systems. Now I literally have 3 specific weeks in my business where like 1 week I'm creating all the content, editing, uploading. One week I spend just like on marketing. So we're doing like blog posts, batching social media content, everything for that. And then 1 week that's like systems, processes. I call it my CEO week because it's kind of a catch-all for like, you know, I'm reviewing everything, uh-huh. Figuring out what could be better. What do we want to change? What do we want to launch? And it's so much easier to do that with a membership-based business, specifically with the Stout Stock Society. But even with my clients, I sort of run the same thing. So the week that I'm creating content for the Stout Stock Society is also the only week of the month that I take photos for my clients. And that way I know that most of my clients are on a retainer basis. So I know that I'm going to get them their photos for September by the end of August. And that way they can schedule all their content out in advance, which saves everyone so much time.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm a huge systems and processes fan as well. And I feel like there's constantly improvements we can make to that. But even just taking that initial step to start a system for something is
Yeah, for sure.
It's a step in the right direction. Okay, so I want to circle back to Instagram. Mochi has become an online influencer with, you said, over 100,000 followers. First off, how did this happen? And secondly, do you take all of his photos?
Or her photos? Yes. So sorry. I started her account shortly after we actually brought her home for the first time. And mainly, I just wanted a different account because I knew I was taking so many photos of my cute puppy that I was just going to annoy everyone on my Instagram. And I was like, okay, I'll start this other account. And I thought maybe my friends, my family would follow along. But within like a few weeks, she surpassed my followers on Instagram. So that was weird. But I mean, honestly, she was a cute dog. Like there, you know, I didn't really think anything of that until about a year into having her account. By this point in time, I had kind of realized that there's lots of dogs on Instagram. And it was kind of fun meeting other people, especially in New York. I had just moved to New York. And so it was like a fun way to meet other people who had dogs in New York. I would just scroll through the, like the Dogs of New York hashtag and like comment and like on other people's photos. And about a year into having her account, we had gotten to 15,000 followers, and it was actually the same time that I started my business. And so I was kind of at a point where I was thinking more strategically about everything in my life. And I actually, one of my first blog posts that I ever wrote when I started my business website was about how I had grown Mochi's Instagram from 0 to 15,000 followers in a year. And I sort of just kind of thought about the things that we did during that first year that weren't anything super strategic to me. I just spent a lot of time engaging, specifically engaging with people who had similar types of dogs. So like smaller, fluffy dogs versus, you know, maybe a German Shepherd. So for anyone who doesn't know who Mochi is, which is probably most people listening, she is a 5.5-pound Maltipoo. So someone who follows a 5.5-pound Maltipoo on Instagram is probably not the same person who's going to follow like a 100-pound German Shepherd who likes adventure. Like Mochi is a very cosmopolitan dog in New York. She dresses up. She goes out for cocktails. She's currently in the middle of a summer in the Hamptons.
I saw that. I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah. So I kind of have given her a persona and created a brand around my dog who can't really speak for herself. But I think about what would Mochi say? What would Mochi do in this situation? And similar to creating any other type of brand, you know, for a business or your person, just really thought about who the people are that were following her at that point and decided to be more strategic about creating content specifically for them. And so instead of just sharing, you know, a picture of Mochi napping on the couch, I would think, okay, well, it's Thursday and or it's Wednesday. And so it's Wine Wednesday and Mochi is going to be at this hotel sipping rosé. And that's just something that would connect with her audience's primary female millennials in urban areas who, you know, are the people who watch The Bachelor and like hashtag rosé all day. And
how did you come up with this persona? Like, how did you identify her ideal client, so to speak, or who her follower was? I mean, you got to kind of just dream big and make this whatever you wanted and then tailor the content to that, correct?
Yeah. So kind of similar to how I thought about things with the Style Stock Society or my own business, I just really thought about people like me. So at the time, and it's funny now that I think I've gotten older, but her audience has sort of stayed a little younger. And so I'll have to ask my intern sometimes, I'm like, what's a funny meme that like 25-year-olds are into? Because I feel like Mochi's aging at a slower pace than I am in real life. But I really just kind of took things and started from a perspective of like what I thought would be cute and funny and kind of took it a little further than I would do in real life. So I actually don't drink nearly as much of wine as Mochi poses with. A lot of the photos are batched. So I'll take like five pictures with the same glass of wine and spread them out. But it's less about, I would say, her real life, because her real life is 90% napping and more just like a fun creative outlet and a way that we have found to connect with people all over the world.
Well, I love that you talk about building a brand story, knowing her audience, all these things that we as business owners also need to be considering, but thinking about it from, you know, when we talk about product-based businesses and they're making, you know, jewelry or candles or stationery products, you know, they have an idea of who they're selling to, but and they know they need to speak to that customer. But it's fascinating for me to see and hear your story with this, because you kind of got to create this. We all get to create whatever we want around it, right? But this is just a different example, and I think it provides a different perspective to why these things are important, why it's important to know who you're speaking to, why it's important to speak directly to your customers or your followers or your audience or whoever that might be. So it's a very cute feed, and we will be sure to include the link in the show notes for anyone that wants to check out Mochi in the City. But can you tell us a little bit about, like, with social media, you talked about your process for batching things by week, but in terms of the process or tools that you use for getting your content scheduled and planned, what kind of stuff do you use there?
So for Instagram, my favorite tool to plan in advance is Planoly. It's a scheduler. It also has analytics. And one of like my favorite features about it is you can also like pre-plan Instagram stories, which is not something that some of the other schedulers have. And it's just such a great way to visualize what your feed's going to look like in advance. And it makes it so easy for my team or for anyone who's using it to really, you know, I have a whole library of photos that my assistant can pull from and then just schedule the month out in advance. And I see exactly what it's going to look like. The captions are pre-written. And then you just don't have to worry about it on a day-to-day basis and figuring out, you know, what are we going to post and what are we going to share? And you just have that like already done for you. And it just allows you to have more time to focus on engaging with people and responding to them and actually having conversations rather than figuring out what you're going to share.
Absolutely. Do you have a system or a plan in place for how much like inspirational versus selling your products or services versus, you know, like do you have kind of a method that you use where certain days are for certain content, or do you just kind of build it around whatever season or sales cycle or whatever you're doing?
So it kind of depends on the brand, but I think kind of across the board, I feel like the 80-20 principle like just applies to everything in my life.
Yeah.
And so for the most part, I would say like 80% of the time we are trying to create engaging content, trying to get to know our audience, trying to relate to them and find ways that we can help them. And then that 20% is kind of a more obvious promotional sales focus.
That makes sense. Yeah, I think people in my community and my audience, they struggle with the consistency of it because, to your point, like if they're not scheduling it ahead of time, then they're thinking, oh gosh, I need an image. Oh gosh, what do I say in the caption? And how much do I talk about what we're selling versus how our products are helping people versus, you know, just what the company's doing in general. So it's interesting to hear your point of view and how you're working with clients on that aspect of it. It sounds like social media has been a huge benefit to your businesses, but like if you had to pinpoint which platforms have been your biggest draws for new customers and new clients and where do you place your focus basically when you're working in social media?
Instagram and I mean, there's debate whether or not Pinterest is really social media at this point. So if we're going to call it social media, then Pinterest is definitely my biggest traffic driver. Mm-hmm. I think it totally makes sense, especially for my business, because it's so visual. I'm creating visual content and selling photos to people. So people are more likely to find me on visual platforms. And yeah. I think for product-based businesses, especially, Instagram is such a huge platform and like potential driver. Before I started my business, so the last real job I had was for an e-commerce based business that actually we had a few physical locations in New York, but I was in charge of digital marketing and strategy. And so most of the customers that we were targeting were not directly in the New York area. And, you know, they couldn't see or touch or feel our products, and it was fashion accessories. Mm-hmm. And so Instagram was really the main platform that we used to sell and to build our brand. And I think that was really what kind of got me hooked and realizing like the power of Instagram and how you can really connect with people just through, you know, creating a brand and sharing on Instagram.
Yeah, absolutely. What advice do you have for entrepreneurs that are just starting their journey? I mean, you've done this three different ways for three different companies and you've had success along the way. I know you've probably also had some things that didn't go as planned, but knowing all that you know now, what advice would you give to somebody that's just starting out?
Solve a problem. Don't start with an idea because it's just something that you want to do, but really think about who you want to serve and how you're helping them in some way with their life. Because I think at the end of the day, it's so much easier to sell something that is actually going to help people. And even, you know, it may even be the same thing, the same idea, but just coming from a place of I am solving a problem for other people makes it easier to sell, like literally sell yourself, sell the thing, really buy into the idea that this is something that's going to help people in some way versus I'm just doing this to make money, which mm-hmm. is something that I think applies to everything, even starting a dog Instagram account. Because there's people now who are like, I want to make my dog famous on the internet. And like, that's a legit, I actually used to teach a course, Celebrity Pet Bootcamp, that was full of people who just wanted to make the dog famous. And I'd always lead with the like, why? Why are you doing this? What's the point? Because if you're doing it because you want your dog to have brand deals and, you know, work, do event appearances and make money that way, it's very different than someone who wants to build a platform because they want to raise awareness for rescue organizations. And mm-hmm. the types of content that you create, everything you put out there is going to be affected by like your why and like what you're just yep. trying to do. So they start with solving a problem. And I mean, honestly, I would say get as specific as possible. If you can solve a very specific problem for a very specific group of people, you'll have way more success than creating something generic and trying to attract like anyone on the internet who has money.
I am sitting here shaking my head yes profusely. I 100% agree with you and thank you for sharing that, because I think there's a lot of people that start a business because they think it'll be fun or because they want to see something on the market, or, you know, maybe they have a personal reason for it. Maybe they're solving their own problem, but they're the only one with that problem. You know, there's a lot of reasons people start businesses, but thank you, because we need to know our why and we need to be solving a problem for more than just ourselves. And yeah, that was great advice. What's next for you? What do you have coming up in the next few months?
So we are working on expanding the Styled Stock Society in a few different ways, some of which I can't talk about yet, but some of which I am really excited. One of the things that we have been in the process of working on specifically is stock video. And I think it's something that like a lot of my peers kind of haven't dived into at the moment. And I think in a lot of ways, video is something that everyone is sort of noticing that, you know, people are on YouTube more, Instagram stories or IGTV, whatever the thing is, even just on normal Instagram sharing videos more often because it's such a, I wouldn't say easy way, but it's such a more realistic way of connecting with people because it's like, it's real. It's literally, you know, not just a stage photo of something, not that you can't do a styled video shoot, but that it's just a way that you can connect with people kind of in a, on a more personal level than just a photo. So yeah. I think that there are different ways that people can incorporate stock photo video into their content. And we're really excited to explore that a little bit more and see, you know, I think everything for us has been a bit of a, you know, try it and get feedback and then improve and see what happens. So I'm interested to see the different ways that people are able to use stock video in their businesses and really see if that's another way that we can help them.
I love that idea. Will it be like B-roll type stuff or will you?
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. So I think for any, you know, styled shoot that we're doing, we'll also include some video clips. And I'm really excited to see how that pans out.
So I love
video's
that.
Exciting. And the, kind of on the flip side with Mochi, one of the things that we've recently started doing is actually selling physical merch.
Okay.
Which is exciting because everything for the past 2 years has been either brand partnerships, event appearances, like affiliate partnerships, but we're sort of just now delving into physical products. We started selling custom Mochi pins that I had designed, and we're expanding into other physical products, which is really exciting because it's just a whole nother ball game when it comes to, and it's just crazy to me that like people, you know, are walking around with my Mochi pin on. Like it's like it's my right. dog. It's not like like she's not like a famous dog, but like to them she's, you know, this dog that they follow on the internet that they like want right. to wear, which is right. pretty cool.
That is cool and so interesting too. Well, where can people find you online? We'll make sure to include these links in the show notes, but if they want to follow you online or social media, share those links with us.
Sure. So my website is lledruin.com. That's lledruin.com. I'm everywhere on social media at lledruin. The Styled Stock Society is styledstocksociety.com and Mochi is mochiandthecity.com.
Awesome. Website and
yeah, Instagram. So I have three businesses, three websites, three blogs, three Instagrams.
And I need to go take a nap. I'm tired for you. That's awesome. Well, congrats on all of your success. And thank you for stopping in today to share your story. And we'll be sure to link up all that stuff in the show notes for anyone that wants to check out what you're doing.
Thanks so much for having me.
Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt and I am hosting a free masterclass where I'm going to share my top three secrets for maximizing your trade show investment and tips on how to keep your wholesale orders coming in long after your trade show ends. Now this free workshop is for anyone selling physical products, not just stationary brands. And it's helpful to anyone considering large-scale wholesale shows like New York Now, Stationery Show, or even Atlanta's Mark. If you're interested in listening in, head on over to theboothblueprint.com to sign up for this free masterclass. Again, that's theboothblueprint.com. I look forward to having you join me. Proof to Product is brought to you by Trade Show Bootcamp and hosted by me, Katie Hunt. Since 2011, TSBC has worked with hundreds of product-based businesses to help them uplevel, scale, and build profitable, sustainable companies. You can find our show notes and additional resources at proof2product.com. And if you like what you heard today, please head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a 5-star review and subscribe. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with a new episode.